Good morning, everyone. Today I'm going to talk about a fundamental concept in psychoanalysis, transference. This phenomenon, first described by Freud, remains the base of psychoanalytic theory and practice, offering profound insights into our unconscious. Transference, in essence, is about our unconscious mind taking feelings and attitudes. Feelings that were originally about significant people in our past, like family, early friends, and redirecting them onto people we meet now in our present lives. It's almost like we carry around these old emotional blueprints, and then we just unknowingly project them onto new connections. But actually, transference plays out in our everyday interactions all the time, not only in the therapy room or with the psychoanalyst, outside therapy too, which is called displacement. The concept of transference started taking shape at around 1890s, although one of Freud's collaborators, Joseph Breuer, documented something very similar even earlier in his work with a patient known as Anna O. Anna O developed intense feelings for Breuer himself, very intense feelings, feelings that Joseph Breuer found unsettling. So even though the word transference wasn't used yet, the phenomenon itself was definitely being observed. Freud introduced the term transference in the book Studies on Hysteria, published in 1895, together with Joseph Breuer. And his initial observation, his first take on it, was that when patients were resisting bringing unconscious material up, like resisting the therapy, kind of resisting awareness, patients would unconsciously redirect them onto him, the analyst. So initially, he saw it as part of resistance, like a defense mechanism. In those early days, Freud viewed transference more of an obstacle getting in the way of the real work. So Freud and Breuer tried to navigate around it, minimize it. But as often happens with new discoveries, his understanding changed and evolved. Freud started to see this relieving of past feelings in the present moment, specifically in the relationship with the psychoanalyst, that could be really powerful, essential even, not an obstacle as initially thought, but actually a tool. So let's understand how transference actually works inside therapy. What actually happens between the psychoanalyst and the patient? At its core, transference in therapy is about what we call the repetition of the past in the present. Repeating the past, basically the feelings, the attitudes, even unconscious fantasies someone had towards really important figures in the past, often from early childhood, parents, siblings, which can get unconsciously redirected onto the psychoanalyst. So it's like those old ways of relating the patterns we learned early on, they just get replayed right there in the therapy room. And by carefully watching these patterns emerge in the interaction between the patient and the psychoanalyst, we can start to get a much deeper understanding of the unconscious conflicts that might be driving the client's current issues, their emotional patterns, their behaviors outside therapy too. And the traditional idea of the psychoanalyst being like a blank screen or a mirror was a very deliberate technique in classical psychoanalysis. The idea was for the psychoanalyst to reveal as little as possible about themselves, their own personality, thoughts, feelings, and keep it neutral. This was supposed to encourage the patient to project their own unconscious material more freely, to let the transference develop without being overly shaped by the psychoanalyst's own material, which is called counter-transference. And transference can show up in a whole range of ways in therapy, such as developing erotic or sexual feelings towards the psychoanalyst, or positive transference, or it can also involve a really intense rage or hatred or deep mistrust aimed at the psychoanalyst. So the whole spectrum of emotions can get transferred. Another common one is what is called parentification, where the client unconsciously starts treating the psychoanalyst like a parent figure, maybe seeking approval or guidance way beyond the normal therapy relationship boundaries. This could happen, especially if someone had maybe a really dependent relationship with a parent growing up. Or conversely, a patient might develop an extreme dependence on the psychoanalyst. Feelings like they can't make decisions or function without the psychoanalyst's input. Or they might put the psychoanalyst up on a pedestal, giving them godlike status, thinking they have all the answers, idealizing them, believing that the psychoanalyst is endlessly wise and perfect. Or on the flip side, seeing the psychoanalyst as punitive, judgmental, like an authority figure from the past who was harsh. These unrealistic views of the psychoanalyst are shaped more by the past than the present reality. And then there is also general negative transference, like suspicion, anger, resentment towards the psychoanalyst, often rooted in difficult past relationships. Understanding these patterns can help the analyst, the patient, or the client see why they might push people away too quickly or assume the worst, even when there is no real reason in the present. Now, how does transference help the analyst heal or grow? Why is working with it so important? Understanding and working through transference is fundamental to psychoanalysis. The way transference shows up, its specific nature, gives us crucial clues about the client's issues and their deep-seated ways of relating to people. The way the analyst behaves with the psychoanalyst, right there in the session, is like a window into how they operate in other parts of their lives too, both now and in the past. And then the therapy setting offers this really unique, valuable chance for what we call emotional re-experiencing within the safe space of the therapy room. Patients can start to re-experience those old childhood conflicts, those unresolved emotional issues that might still be really impacting them today. And then the psychoanalyst helps them process it differently. And this is the working through part. Through the psychoanalyst's interpretations, those past conflicts get brought into conscious awareness. They can be looked at from new angles and ideally worked through towards a healthier resolution. This often involves something called transference interpretations. Transference interpretations are a specific kind of intervention where the psychoanalyst focuses right on what is happening now in the immediate relationship between them and the patient in the here and now. The psychoanalyst then carefully links those patterns, those feelings happening in the therapy room, back to the patient's earlier important relationships. This kind of interpretations, connecting past and present, are seen as a really essential, powerful technique in psychoanalysis. But transference needs to be handled well. The psychoanalyst's non-judgmental empathic attitude, while the patient is expressing those transferred feelings or acting out old patterns, can help them experience those dynamics in a new, healthier way. And if the psychoanalyst doesn't react like the original person did, that difference allows for integration, greater self-awareness, and more satisfying relationships down the line. But for this to happen, it is important that the psychoanalyst doesn't react like the harsh father did. Ideally, they try to stay neutral. That's the critical part. By trying to stay neutral, by not getting sucked into the patient's unconscious drama, or reacting in those old expected ways, the psychoanalyst creates this unique space where the analysant, the patient, or the client can actually see their own patterns, their own expectations, without getting the usual negative feedback loop they might expect. It opens the space for something new, which can lead to that emotional re-education, maybe developing a new life script. The patient can start to learn that those old patterns don't have to keep repeating. Now, let's ground this concept of transference with a specific case. Dora's case was a real turning point for Freud. Dora's case was crucial for understanding how Freud's thinking on transference evolved. Initially, Freud's main focus was on dreams, uncovering repressed memories, and he used Dora's case partly for that. Talking about her dreams, his ideas about infantile sexuality, but working with her led him to a major realization, which was the dynamics of his relationship with Dora were just as important, maybe even more important than the content of her dreams or memories. He started to recognize this dynamic as transference. So, what was happening between them? What did he notice during the sessions? Throughout the therapy, Dora started showing these strong emotional reactions towards Freud himself. She suddenly withdrew from treatment or got visibly angry with him, or just lapsed into long silences. And Freud began to see that she was unconsciously transferring emotions and expectations from her other relationships, especially with a man named Herr K, and also with her own father onto him, Freud, her psychoanalyst. So she wasn't just reacting to Freud as Freud the doctor, but as someone who unconsciously stood in for these other key figures in her life. Before Dora, Freud was mainly digging up repressed memories to solve neuroses. But after her, he could see that the therapy relationship itself is dynamic, is interactive. How patients behaved and felt in that relationship was a direct reflection, like a mirror, of how they operated outside the therapy room. So the therapy room kind of became a stage where Dora's inner world, her unresolved relationship patterns, were being played out. And Freud was being unconsciously cast into those old roles from her past. So Dora's case really sharpened his focus on transference. He saw that feelings about other people were being redirected right onto him. It fundamentally shifted his approach. He moved towards paying much more attention to observing and understanding the emotions as they unfolded right there in real time in the therapy relationship. In a way, it sounds like Dora's case really cemented transference as a central idea in psychoanalysis, showing how the past shapes our present relationships. And Freud himself even admitted later, quite candidly, regarding Dora. He said he did not succeed in mastering the transference in good time with her. He admitted that he recognized, looking back, that he should have paid closer attention to the early signs when Dora compared him to her father, or in her dream about leaving therapy, just like she left Hecke's house. He saw those as missed cues. So Freud felt he missed the boat on interpreting the transference early enough. He specifically said he should have realized sooner she was transferring feelings from Hecke onto him. He thought if he had addressed it earlier, more directly, the analysis might have accessed different memories, dealt with the actual events more effectively. But because he didn't, he felt that he didn't recognize it in time. This sort of unknown quantity in him that reminded her of Hecke, maybe something about money or jealousy of another patient. He speculated that she ended up acting out her feelings by leaving the treatment early, mirroring her feelings about being deceived and deserted by Hecke. Instead of talking about those complex feelings in therapy, she reenacted the pattern by leaving. And Freud concluded from this, that working with transference early on, even if it seems to slow things down initially, actually makes the therapy stronger, less vulnerable to sudden blow-ups or people just quitting. Dora's case was a crucial lesson for him. As said before, transference is essentially unconscious. It's where feelings, desires, expectations from important past relationships, often way back in early life, they get redirected onto the psychoanalyst. But we need to be careful about what it means for the original feeling itself, since it isn't like a perfect historical record. Although transference is incredibly powerful, but it's not a definite proof, no factual proof of the original feeling in its pure, untouched form. It's not just a simple one-to-one replay. It's less like a photograph and more like a reconstruction. And this reconstruction is filtered and memory plays a role. And we know memory isn't like a perfect video recall. It fades, it changes. It's also shaped by defense mechanisms like repression, where difficult or painful feelings, memories get unconsciously pushed away. So the original feeling isn't just popping up unchanged. It's being processed, maybe changed by how our mind dealt with it over the years, especially if it was difficult and pushed away. And the current relationship dynamic, the one happening with the psychoanalyst right now in the moment, that also influences how the old feelings emerges. It's not just a passive projection. It's active, it's dynamic, it's influenced by the here and now context too. So the past pattern is there, but it's coming through the filter of our own mind, memory, repression, and all of that. And it's interacting with the present situation with the psychoanalyst. Now, even though transference is not an exact proof, transference acts as a vital clue or trace. It brings those old emotional patterns, especially the ones that are unresolved and not fully processed back then, and it brings them right into the therapy room. They become visible, they become felt right there in the therapy room. So instead of just talking about old relationship problems, maybe with a parent or someone, we are actually sort of feeling the emotional dynamic of the problem, but it's happening now with the psychoanalyst. It gives direct, often a powerful access to those bad feelings and patterns, the ones that might still messing things up in current relationships or life choices without the person fully realizing why. It's a chance for the person in therapy, the analysis, to actually experience these dynamics in a safe space. By feeling it, they can explore it in the present with the psychoanalyst helping them making sense of it. And interpretation is key. The psychoanalyst's role is to help the analyst, the patient, the client, sees that these feelings are actually old feelings from a long time ago, and explore where they might be coming from. And most importantly, work through the unresolved problem they reveal. So despite transference not being that perfect replica, its value is just immense because it brings what is unresolved into the light right there in the therapy room. It offers this unique chance to actually work through it, understand it, and hopefully move beyond it. Now, it's important to understand that interpretation cannot be direct or premature. Interpretations should be given the right time when the patient is ready for it, because it can make total sense for us. But if it's given at the wrong time, it can jeopardize the whole process of analysis, as the patient may feel judged or misunderstood. It is important to say that transference doesn't only happen in the therapy room, as said before. It also happens in everyday life. For instance, maybe there is an employee who starts to see his boss as the strict parent figure he once had. Suddenly, he is trying really hard to please, or maybe even feeling resentful without realizing where those feelings are coming from. Or in a relationship, someone may act toward their partner as if they were still dealing with unresolved stuff from an ex or even a caregiver, seeing problems that don't belong to the present situation, but it was triggered by the present situation. And also in friendships, which is another situation where transference can occur. For example, imagine someone gets upset because a friend seems distracted and they take it as a sign of abandonment. Their reaction might actually be tied to feelings from the past when they felt neglected. Another situation is when we encounter someone being rude to us, it's worth pausing to consider whether their behavior is truly about us or if it's rooted in their communication style. Or maybe it might be our own mind reacting defensively because of their tone of voice or mannerisms that unconsciously remind us of someone from the past. Another situation is a neighbor's remark or a partner's behavior that might unconsciously remind us of past experiences, triggering emotions that feel immediate, but they are deeply rooted in the past. And before reacting quickly and without thinking to an upsetting comment, consider pausing and reflecting by asking yourself, am I responding to the here and now, or am I reacting to unresolved feelings from my past? Am I reacting to this person in front of me, or am I reacting to years of rejection, dismissiveness, and neglect? All the above are examples of how transference can color our perceptions and responses, often without us even realizing it. Recognizing this dynamic can help us separate the present moment from the shadow of our past experiences, allowing us to respond with more clarity. The simple act of mindfulness can transform potential conflicts into opportunity for understanding and growth. By cultivating this awareness, we empower ourselves to manage emotional triggers with greater insight. Not only does this lead to a more thoughtful response, but also creates space for deeper, more genuine connections with those around us. In essence, the practice of identifying and addressing transference in daily interactions allows us to turn unconscious patterns into conscious choices, paving the way for a more harmonious and meaningful life. And during psychoanalytic sessions, patients can understand their reactions to people and situations are often influenced by past relationships and unresolved emotions. This awareness allows them to recognize patterns, gain insights into their behavior, and ultimately work towards healthier interactions in their current relationships. So, in summary, our past relationship patterns do influence our present ones. They get reenacted. The past isn't always past, and Freud's discovery was crucial for understanding the impact of our early experiences. And while it is central to psychoanalysis, it's important to remember its effects in our everyday connections and interactions too.